This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and Svetlana Lukova is here. This is the 12th and final episode of the story I call Crossfire Hurricane Diary. Svetlana Lukova is an historian, the author of This Bio-Changed History, The Untold Story of How the Soviet Union Stole America's Top Secrets, a story from the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Svetlana is an historian of Soviet state security. Surprisingly, she is also a victim, a commentator, an observer of American state security in the 21st century because of what is loosely called Russiagate. However, in the course of these 12 episodes, and this is the final, part two of the final episode, Svetlana has commented now and again on people whom she talked with, who talked to her, whom she corresponded with over these 7 years. And I would like to end our conversation about Crossfire Hurricane Diary with Svetlana listing what she wants to know from each of these individuals, when and if the Durham report is delivered, when and if the historians weigh in on this, as they will, because this is presidential history, and also wonderful stuff about state securities in the European Union, in the UK, in the United States. Svetlana, let's start randomly with people I know you've talked with over the years. What do you want to know from Richard Dearlove and Christopher Andrew? What questions would you ask them now that you can reflect upon their part in this episode and these episodes?
Well, the easiest question, and of course, just for your listeners to remind you, Christopher Andrew was my professor, was my mentor of 20 years since I started at Cambridge University in 1908. And he ended up, unfortunately, being one of the people who participated in this whole Russiagate saga. And Richard Dearlove used to be the former head of MI6, which is British version of the CIA, so the Foreign Intelligence Services for the United Kingdom. And those two people are, you know, respectable people, especially, of course, Christopher Andrew. He's a well-known historian, one of the most eminent historian. He was the chair of our Cambridge University history faculty, and also the person who invented the field, created the field of the intelligence history, which is how I ended up studying it in the first place. And those are, you know, supposedly, you know, good people. They're supposed to be, you know, the pillars of our community. And they somehow got caught up or directed. And that's the question we want to know is, were they just caught up or did they direct this parts of this Russiagate story? Because unfortunately they ended up in very bad company with a man, you know, we discussed, called Stefan Halper. They became business partners with him. And this is the American spy, CIA and FBI, the CIA's FBI informer, who ended up in Cambridge and who ended up running operations out of Cambridge, out of my university. And the question is why, how they ended up in partnership with him, both in business partnership, and why were they running operations out of Cambridge University? Because that's just not the thing to do. And then the next question is why, when the fake stories, false stories about me and General Flynn, you know, me seducing General Flynn, General Flynn working for Russian intelligence through me. When those stories came out, why the people who knew me best, particularly Christopher Andrew, who knew me since I was a kid, why they didn't come out and say, well, this is not true. Why didn't they come out and said that, you know, we were there at the dinner with General Flynn and Svetlana Lukova and nothing happened. Nobody recruited anyone. Nobody seduced anyone. It was a good dinner with the Defense Intelligence Agency and with whom we cooperated since that dinner. That was in 2014. Why did they not come out and dispute the false allegations about that, right?
Yes.
Why did Christopher Andrew in February 2017 write an article that says that General Flynn was attracted to me? False. Invited me to Moscow? False. Why did he write that article? Why did he publish it? And why did he not withdraw it? Why was Richard Dearlove meeting up with Christopher Steele, who is the second? Remember, there were two people on whom the FBI based their fake investigation of Trump-Russia collusion, including General Flynn and others. Why? So there were two. There was Stephen Halper and Christopher Steele, who it appears they were coordinating. So why was Richard Dearlove, you know, bigging up Christopher Steele? Why was he saying that he's a good guy? You know, his research is good, where it was obvious that it wasn't. Why were they meeting up? They were meeting up both before and after the election, Steele and Dearlove were, right? Why were they meeting up? Why is Richard Dearlove on the record calling Stephen Halper a good academic and a good patriot, which he's neither? And why did he not come out and say that Stephen Halper's stories are false? Why was Richard Dearlove at the conference with Stephen Halper when they met with Carter Page and Alexander Downer? What were they doing? Why at no point, and that was the conference, remember, in July 2016, just, you know, very shortly before the Crossfire Hurricane was opened. So why those two people of good character, of high standing in British society, why did they at no point come out and denounced this whole fake, horrible, embarrassing story, but instead promoted it? Why?
Good questions. I've long known the question you asked me a long time ago that was puzzling. Why were you invited to that dinner? And those two men would be the place to start. There's another matter. What do you want to know from the man named Mueller? What do you want to know from his committee? Are there any questions you have? Because they never talk to you. What do you want to know from them?
Well, John, it was horrible because, again, I would like people to remember what 2017 and 18 was like, if you were on the receiving end of this. So, you know, Adam Schiff just a few days ago came out and said, oh, Mueller, you know, he lost his marbles. He was already deteriorating, you know, trying to portray him as some sort of, you know, old guy who was just like, didn't know what he was doing. But Mueller did know what he was doing. The terror of the Mueller years, the terror every day you wake up. They were pushing all these articles in the media where they were like, arresting everyone, throwing the book at them, or even people who were completely innocent. They would be interrogated for hours. They would be, people would arrive at the airports and they would be taken to, you know, hours and hours of interviews, etc. And in my case, I was particularly, scared because my own, again, mentor, Christopher Andrew and people around him were all saying that, you know, Mueller is looking into General Flynn and you, right? And how do they know that? Well, presumably that's the question. Did Christopher Andrew and Richard Dearlove give evidence and Stephen Halper against General Flynn and me to the Mueller inquiry? But it was a very, very, very scary time. And you wake up every day and every day there will be something on TV about the Mueller inquiry. And you just wonder, are they going to come after me next? And that's called terror state, right? Where you have to live every day and you don't know where they're going to come after you. And you haven't done anything wrong, but that doesn't seem to make any difference in this Russiagate thing. So now they're just trying to rewrite it, right? They try to say, oh, the guy was just, you know, old and a bit senile. That's what they're trying to say today, right? But that's not how things were for people who lived through, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20, and even today. That's not how we feel. That's not how I feel. That wasn't funny. That wasn't some old guy. That was a serious, serious, serious inquiry. So I want to know, why was it that Mueller used Stephen Halper as the key witness to his inquiry? Why he never bothered to interview me, despite the fact that the allegations against me were the core framework against General Flynn. And we know that because General Flynn papers, you know, where he was being interviewed by Mueller, later got declassified. So we know he was asked about this, but I wasn't. And I want to know, is that because they knew that the whole thing is false and therefore they couldn't afford, you know, to interrogate me. And I want to know, was Halper and Dilav and Andrew witnesses, which would be false witnesses? I want to know whether Mueller interviewed people who were at the dinner with General Flynn in 2014, which included people who accompanied General Flynn. And if he had interviewed all these people who, you know, would have said that nothing happened about General Flynn or me or Russia, intelligence or anything like that, why were these false stories in the press about me and General Flynn were allowed to be quote unquote leaked, on daily basis? So I want to know why we, individually and collectively had to go through this nightmare. Why he used as witnesses people who were already, very, very, compromised. And why he is somebody, you know, who's a very, you know, Mueller, you know, comes from a good family. He's somebody who served his country. He's somebody that we should look up to. Why he participated in this, not just charade in terms of, you know, the legal aspect of it, but it's also this reign of terror for a number of years that ruined so many people's lives.
Finally, what do you want to know from James Comey, director of the FBI during this period? What if you were sat with him for a tea in Moscow, what would you ask him?
Well, if I sat with him for a cup of tea in Washington or in London or anywhere else.
Or in Moscow, it doesn't matter. You know, you've traveled all these places. You know them very well. You can set the tea table anywhere you want, Svetlana. What would you say
well,
to Director Comey?
Well, wherever I set my tea table, I would just ask him, you know, you didn't go to the FBI to be a bad guy, right? So what happened to your soul? Why did you oversee all of this? You know, James Comey was briefed on the Crossfire Hurricane on August 15, 2016. That's the first time he's briefed. That's from the IG report. So he would have been briefed about Halper and Steele and their fake accusations, false accusations against General Flynn, me and other people, right? He then again, he allowed this to be opened, which was a farce. It was not true. He then was personally visited by John McCain in December 2016. That's after the election. And he allowed to restart the investigation after the election when they were trying to delegitimize the democratically elected president. And throughout all of this, not only did he not stop it, but he authorized all of this. And, you know, as we know from history, you don't have to sign each specific order, but as the leader of this organization, which the FBI is a really, really, really important organization that keeps people safe, why did he put our law enforcement organization, our organization who's, you know, supposed to protect us from evil, why did he allow it to participate in this evil?
Very good question. Svetlana Lukova, the story is unfinished. We are making a marker in the road on what we can expect will be historical documents over the next century reflecting on these events. It's called Russiagate. It can also be called Crossfire Hurricane. That was the file that was opened July 31st, 2016. There's a very large cast. And the answers to Svetlana's question exist. They're not unknown. John Durham has the power to begin the answers. But in the fullness of time, I'm expecting historians such as Svetlana Svetlana herself to have access to the files so we can puzzle out these matters. Svetlana is the author of Spygate Exposed, the story so far. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.